slide, originally I planned to do a much more ambitious survey of some, of actually three very recent papers, but so I'm going to focus on two of them, which are the common theme being operator-based techniques. So I changed the theme a little bit, but the latter paper particularly has some nice examples of how operator-based methods can be crucial in an operator algebra investigation. And my operator algebras, unfortunately for many of you, are not such a joint usually. But they are exactly the operator spaces with a product making M and of A of Banach algebra. So they become, they're one of those natural places of application of applications of operator space methods because of that. So I'm interested in operator space methods and applying it in this area. And what I want to talk about today is I want to revisit something that I could not do a long time ago because I did not have the operator space method then, and that is how to make inner product modules or things like Hilbert keystone modules when your operator algebra is a dual operator algebra, so the non-self-adjoint version of a one-Riemann algebra. So some definitions: a dual operator algebra is a sigma-weakly closed subalgebra of B of H. The analog of Sakai's theorem is that dual operator algebras are exactly the operator algebras which have an operator space pre-dual. And I need to assume for convenience that all the operator algebras have an identity of norm 1. If they don't, then you can just define, for example, one of these generalized inner product modules to be in this class, if and only if when you view it as a module over the unitization of the algebras in the class. So you can always pass through the unitization. So I'm going to assume for convenience, mostly for convenience, in some places it is necessary that all operator algebras have an identity of norm 1.
Could you have an identity which has norm other than 1? Not in
this case, but in the general case, I guess you could, if that happened, you would just adjoin another identity which had norm 1. So normal representations would be completely contractive, we saw continuous, and this makes the Hilbert space into a dual operator M module, which is defined next. Actually, there are two definitions there. The first is a concrete one, a weak but closed subspace of operators between two Hilbert spaces, which is left invariant under this representation up here. Or the abstract definition is that it's a dual operator space and the module action is separately weak spot continuous. And these things were introduced by Epworth and Ruan in the W-style algebra case. I'm going to first talk about this related paper. So just to remind you of some of the definitions in the self-adjoint theory. So the reason why we have to do things differently in the dual or weak spot version is because stronger read equivalence or C-star modules for C-star algebras are just not appropriate, they don't work. You need the W-star algebra weak-star topology variant due to PASCII, which is a C-star module over a one-Riemann algebra, which is also self-dual, so every module map is taken in apart from a fixed element or equivalency, which is a pre-dual. So self-duality is equivalent to having a pre-dual. And so we have a separately weak spot continuous M valued inner product satisfying the obvious analogs of the Hilbert space inner product. And these things, we know, behave just like Hilbert spaces. And they're a fundamental notion. They're essentially the same thing as Kahn's correspondences. So Hilbert spaces, the module action, there's a bijection between Kahn's correspondences. And they implement the induced representation functor, which this is called the composition tensor product, or if you do it in the language of Kahn's correspondences, this is called fusion sometimes, and has many other names. For people who do operator spaces, you can often treat W-star modules as the same thing as WTROs. So that's a weak-star closed operator space Z in B of KH. satisfying this ternary relation here. So there's a essentially identical correspondence in some sense between W sum modules and W TROs. So the original theories are really a huge package of important results, consequences, ways of looking at things. Like I say, quantum correspondence is just one way. In the shuffle joint theory, however, inner product modules or C-star modules are essentially the same thing, or W-star modules are essentially the same thing as the Ricci equivalence. But in the non-shuffle joint setting, this is not true. If you look at 2x2 matrix examples, you can see that that's not going to be true. Okay, so why generalize it to dual operator algebras? So here are just some reasons. So these are, I think, fundamental ideas like induced representations, I think, is a fundamental idea. Also, you're really creating a bigger universe in which the self-adjoint things sit, and in this bigger setting where you can put them together with more general objects if you want to. It's also a great application of some operator space ideas. And then it's just nice when you can find the right way to do it, and then this whole big package just goes over to the dual operator algebra. So, and you get the package of hundreds of nice theorems. So what are these hundreds of nice theorems? So for those of you familiar with the theory of Hilbert C-star modules and W-star modules, you'll know that there are many ways to look at it, many pictures, corollaries. If you try to write on a comprehensive account of the theory of the subject, it'll be quite lengthy, and you'll find that you'll have to omit a lot. It's a ubiquitous notion. Everybody's using it, and in different ways, and everybody has their own theorem about these objects. In the non-shuffle joint setting, you also get a bunch of theorems relating to the shuffle joint setting. You can also get a lot of nice theorems that, if you look in books from the theory of rings and modules, if you look at some basic relations in algebra between rings and in the theory of modules, if you want to put them into an analytic setting, you can only make sense of them for modules satisfying our definition. Because, for example, direct sums, which are ubiquitous in algebra, are very problematic for general operator modules. And these things, of course, generalize Hilbert spaces. So how to generalize the theory of modules over dual operator algebra? So we begin by agreeing on one example of something that certainly should be a generalized W-star module. And so I'll use operator space notation. Cn of m is the first column of the n by n matrices of m. This is a right module. And in the W star algebra case, these are your basic building block, as the following theorem shows. So the theorem says that if you have a dual Banach space, which is a module over W star algebra, it's a W star module if and only if the nets of contractive module maps EP and CT from Y to YP and YP to Y, where each YP is of the form CNM for some n, such that this composition converges to Y weak star. And in this case, the W star module in a product is recovered by this formula. So we have a proof. I have a question here. Is a simple proof, and I was discussing this with John Krauss, and certainly we managed to simplify my proof a little bit, but it's tempting to use ultra products, and I was discussing this with Marius, but it probably works, but it doesn't seem to, I don't think it would be simpler. I may just draw this picture here, because I will refer to this picture. This picture is the basic, is supposed to summarize that theorem. Okay, so in view of that theorem, you can, it makes sense to say that a dual operating space in the module Y over W star algebra M, we call this a W star rig module, if and only if you have the same picture, so you have exactly the same picture, you're factoring through these basic building blocks, of the PT, PT, Y goes to Y, weak star called Y and Y. And we have many alternative definitions. If you like the inner product, you know, there's ways of stating this in terms of an inner product. In the normal topology case, there is a similar condition that defines the rig module. Okay.
So what's the definition between this definition and the modular hypothesis?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. This is the problem with this technology. I guess I can't erase anything. This is a dual operator algebra, I beg your pardon. This is not a polynomial algebra.
Alright.
Excuse me. So let me just say that again. This M here is not a W star algebra. It's a dual operator algebra. It is a dual operator algebra. Thank you. Now, in the norm, if you're not doing the weak star case, if you're dealing with norm plus operator algebras or C star algebras, you can do the same thing. You can have a similar picture. The only difference is that this composition will converge point norm. It will converge point norm instead of point weak star. And this defines some objects that we call rig modules, which become a generalization of Hilbert C-star modules, and they're exactly the Hilbert C-star modules if the algebra is self-adjoint. But then you need a deep theorem to go further. And something like this happens here. So the point is that you can't just, it's not obvious how to proceed from this definition. In the norm case, you need a deep theorem to then make this, to make this class of modules work. In the weak star case, it turns out that we need operator space multipliers to make things work. And this is what I didn't know how to do this until recently. So you certainly can obtain a C star algebra valued in a product on such Y by using this formula. So there's a hint of how to do that. You just tensor everything in the definition with a binomial algebra containing N, then appeal to the Laws theorem, which is what this is viewing Y inside its canonical W star module envelope, which we call the W star dilation. But in the non-self-adjoint setting, it's preferable to work instead with a bilinear pairing with a canonical dual left module, So this is the canonical dual left module in the setting. It's the weak star completely bounded maps from Y to M, which are left module maps. And for those of you who are familiar with the W star module theory, you'll see that there's a difference that appears in our setting, which is in the self-adjoint theory, weak star is automatic. All your maps are automatically weak star continuous. That doesn't happen in the non-self-adjoint case for some reason. So we have to put weak star in there. We can define adjointables. Again, in the W star module theory, everything is adjointable. But in our setting, that's not true. It turns out that the adjointables are exactly the weak star continuous module maps. So this is would be the definition of adjointables, and we'll use this notation, open base DYG, for these adjointables, so it's just the weak star completely bounded maps. So then you can prove that one of these modules, this space of adjointables is weak star closed. So these kind of things turn out to be important, that these spaces are weak star closed. And is a dual operator algebra. Why is the left dual operator module over this thing? The canonical dual module Y tilde is a right W-star rig module of REM, so there's a symmetry going on, and the second dual module of Y returns to Y. So the main new ingredients are left multipliers of an operator space, and they have some properties that are non-trivial. So I'll just say a little bit about these multipliers, not very much, pretty much essentially what's on the slide. I defined these originally in terms of the non-trivial sort of boundary, but characterized them in many ways, for example with Eprox and Zurikian, as the scalar multiples of maps that satisfy this condition. So the multiplier, this is one characterization of the multiplier that satisfy this condition. The collection of these multipliers is an operator algebra, and it in fact is a dual operator algebra. It acts as a dual operator space. And I think I'm doing pretty good. I have to half cost, but okay. The collection ML of X of left multipliers of X is an operator algebra, and just a dual operator algebra of X is a dual operator space. Inside here, there's actually a C-star algebra, which is a one-Riemann algebra if X is a dual operating space, but we won't need that. For special classes of operating spaces, ML of X often are exactly the maps of interest. Even though they're defined purely linearly, and in terms of the norm, they turn out to be the maps of interest. So in our setting, the left multipliers are exactly the space of the jointable maps. The second tool we'll need is this guy, some kind of decorated module tensor product, which is the module version of the Eprox Kishimoto Ruan Sigma Hubbard tensor product. So this module version was introduced. This should read Eleftherakis and Paulson. This is Eleftherakis and Paulson as the quotient of the usual sigma Hubbard tensor product by the weak star closure of the usual terms. What we use from their paper is the universal property of this guy, which is that it linearizes this tensor product linearizes completely contracted separately weak star continuous maps. So every completely contracted separately weak star continuous map, bilinear map. Satisfying this formula, that you can pull the M across the comma, gives a completely contracted weak star continuous complete contraction on the module tensor part. Okay. So here's a theorem: if H is a Hilbert space on which M is normally represented, then the tensor product in this tensor, in this norm this Y here is one of these rig modules, the tensor product with the Hilbert column space is a Hilbert space. Okay, so the nice thing is that after establishing a few such basic theorems, which seem to use these operator space multipliers, for example, then everything becomes fairly easy. You can transfer everything in the older theory to the weak star setting of weak star rig modules, and you get the whole package. So I'm just going to mention some of the most important ideas. Of course, the linking algebra. So you form this 2x2 matrix with M in the corner. In the 2x2 corner, you put the adjointables. You have the dual module. The module with the obvious multiplication, as we said in the last theorem, I think if H is a Hilbert space on which this would be an M, on which M is normally represented, and do this product, we said it is a Hilbert space, that's your induced representation in Riegel's language, and the linking algebra has a natural representation on the direct sum, which makes it into a dual operator algebra. And of course, the linking algebra is always a major tool, because now you can just treat everything as operators between these Hilbert spaces. You can treat everything as happening on this direct sum of Hilbert spaces. And you do need operator space multipliers for this change. The next topic I want to mention is tensor products. If you have one of these modules, and if Z is another one over a different algebra, but if it's a left dual operator M module, so this is sometimes called a W-SOC correspondence in the software joint literature, this Z is known as a W-SOC correspondence. Then the tensor product is also W-SOC reg over N, and we have this this relation which holds even if Z is not rigged on the right, so if Z is just a dual operator module. As a corollary, we can see that if you go back to the self-adjoint theory, so if everything is self-adjoint now, the normal Hargrove module tensor product equals the extended Hargrove module tensor product and equals the classical composition tensor product of W star correspondences due to Ripple, which is just, I guess, fusion if you look at it in Kahn's picture. So the W star dilation I mentioned earlier, if you set Z in the last tensor product theorem to be the Bonham algebra R containing M, we see that this tensor product is actually a W star module canonically containing Y. So now you're back in the self-adjoint theory. So Y is sitting inside a genuine self-adjoint W-star module, and Y inherits, is sitting in there, a genuine Bonham algebra in the product, which is the one that I mentioned earlier. And this way of looking at things is quite useful to be able to. Because then you can deduce a lot of things about these guys by the self-adjoint theory, by factoring the self-adjoint theory. Conversely, you can define these W-star rig modules to be subspaces of W-star modules over the Bonham algebra R, which satisfy a certain natural condition. So everything can be done in terms of this enveloping self-adjoint W-star module. Okay, so direct sums, if you take direct sums of W star rig modules over M, or again W star rig, they have a nice universal property and they work as they should. So this is an example of something I mentioned at the beginning of the talk, that you know many things in the algebra books of the theory of rings and modules, you can't do for general modules, because direct sums just don't make sense but if you want to translate these algebraic relations, you have to use something like this definition to make these things work. And so everything is working right. So here are some examples: W-star modules, WTROs, weak star and reach equivalence by modules, which I'll talk about in just a few moments, which in turn include all examples of Marine equivalence hitherto considered in the dual operator algebra literature. Second duals of strong Marine equivalence by modules, or second duals of these rig modules that I mentioned earlier. Here are some more examples. If you take an infinite column sum of copies of M, and if you have an orthogonal adjointable projection, then its image is weak star rig. In the self-adjoint theory, actually, these are the only examples of W-star modules by theorem of Pasky. But in the non-self-adjoint case, these are not the only examples, but they are nice classic examples. Here's another example. If you take any WTRO and suppose that Z star Z is contained in the dual operator algebra M, then the weak star closure of Z times M is one of these modules. And so this is a one-sided version of what George was talking about in his talk. And then with Magaino, we looked at soft dual rig modules over dual operator algebra. So in the last part of my talk, I wanted to talk about this other paper on weak star rig equivalence. So a bit of history in paper in JFA 05, we looked at notions called tight rig equivalence, which the theme there was soft duality. We were trying to get soft duality to work. And in George has this very nice notion of TRO equivalence, which is essentially the same thing as delta equivalence. And this is the theorem that George presented in his talk. Part of it is this very nice theorem of Lefkowitz and Paulson, that two dual operator algebras are delta equivalent if and only if they are weak star stably isomorphic, which means that this is isomorphic to that. The infinite matrices over M is isomorphic to infinite matrices over N. So in this paper I'm talking about now, we define dual operator algebras to be weak star weak equivalent if they're just a pair of dual operator power modules X and Y, such that M is isomorphic to this decorated tensor product of X and Y, and N is isomorphic to this decorated product of Y and X, which is natural if you're familiar with the norm version of the theory that we developed earlier with Neely and Paulson. And this definition contains all the examples that are hitherto in the literature that I know of Morita-like equivalence, of Morita-like equivalence in a dual in a dual setting. So I'll just mention briefly some of the connections to George's equivalent. So in his paper, he showed that delta equivalence implies weak Sommerian equivalence in our language, but any one of his is one of ours. And they both seem to have different advantages. For example, his is this weak star stable isomorphism, which is very nice, and it contains other very nice new ideas. But some advantages of ours is that there's some examples which are important for us, which are not delta equivalent. And also ours is just essentially a variant of the earlier Sommerian equivalence theory. You get the same theorem, which of course you will get in George's case too, because it's sitting inside there. So why not do everything more generally to get the same theorem? The only thing you don't get is the stable isomorphism theorem. So you know, there are examples which are important to us which don't satisfy that. So ours corresponds basically to changing the tensor product used in the early theory. So I like to think that about the difference between George's and ours is his. Inside your module, there's a binomial algebra of Morita thing going on. Inside his module, you have a TRO. You have a W star module inside his module, whereas we don't have that necessarily in ours. What we have is our modules are sitting inside WTRO. So the difference between you've got a Morita inside or a Morita outside, and having the Morita inside is enough to force this stable isomorphism result. I should write down the theorems, but they're the usual things that you're familiar with in C-star algebra theory that you can do in the theory with Neely and Paulson. So here's an example of a non-self-adjoint analog of the theorem of Grifol. And the upshot of this theorem is that if you have one of our bimodules, then and you represent it appropriately, then the commutant of M is isomorphic to the commutant of N. And if you write R for either of these commutants, then Y is just the intertwiners of this algebra. So every one of our modules has this kind of nice form. Every weak star Morita equivalent sits naturally inside a binomial algebra. Morita equivalent between binomial algebras generated by M and N. So the last thing, the main thing that needs to still be done here. So I gave this as a project to my student, and she's still working on this. Is if our Morita equivalents. So it seems like our Morita equivalence should correspond to the equivalence of the categories of representations. So if you've got two dual operator algebras, they should be weak star Morita equivalent in our sense, if and only if the categories of normal Hilbert space representations of M and N are equivalent to categories. And probably if and only if the categories of dual operator modules are equivalent categories. And I will stop there.